Welcome to Rise from the Ashes. Our podcast looks at various issues for families. We'll be talking with attorneys about personal and legal concerns having to do with divorce, custody, and parenting time. There are also a few topics about letting go, moving on, and new beginnings. Please keep in mind this podcast is only to inform and help to understand legal and personal issues as they relate to family law. It should not be considered as a replacement for a qualified family law attorney. When in doubt, please contact a professional. Rise from the Ashes, focusing on matters of the family, because family matters. Hi, and welcome to our podcast, Rise from the Ashes. I'm David Braddock. I'll be your host for the podcast. And we're talking again with Carlo Ficini, an associate at Mundahl Law. Carlo, in this podcast, we're going to be talking about the subject of parenting time. How exactly would you define parenting time? Didn't they used to call it visitation back in the day?
They did. Back in the day, it was called visitation. Courts have moved away from that. Laws moved away from that to label this parenting time. Essentially what it is, it's when the parents get time with the children. So it's parenting time. And I would also note that parenting time isn't just something that's exclusive to divorce. This also happens in situations where we have couples who have a child and they're not married. Therefore, they never got divorced. So we have to deal with how do we make sure that that child is getting time with each parent?
Well, you just clarified something for me, too. I was initially going to call this topic custody, but there's a distinction between actual custody and parenting time. Can you clarify that just a little bit for us?
Sure. So custody, which I think is something that definitely should be addressed on another podcast, is a little bit of a loaded topic. There's two types of custody. There's legal, there's physical. And then even within those two types, there's two different classifications. There's joint and there's sole, and there's even some wiggle room within there. Whereas what we're dealing with today is just parenting time. And what does that look like? What can that look like? And what considerations do we pay attention to when determining what parenting time should be?
Are there any general rules with respect to parenting time that families or parents should know specifically about that are perhaps required by a court, or how does that work?
So in Minnesota, as of the recording of this podcast, parenting time as a general rule is mandatory, and parenting time for the non-custodial parent, so the parent who doesn't have the primary physical custody of the child, there's a rebuttable presumption.
What is a rebuttable presumption?
So a rebuttable presumption means it's kind of fancy legalese for the default. So the default is that any parent is entitled to receive no less than 25% parenting time. Now that can change. That presumption, that default, can be rebutted or it can be argued against. There can be things that can be shown, it can be evidence, exceptions essentially, that say no, that parent doesn't get that amount of time.
It can be decreased from 25%, but those would have to be discussed with the judge or the court.
Right. And obviously, the other thing we want to keep in mind too is it can be changed by mutual agreement of the parties or the two parents as well.
Does age of the children play into some of the decision-making regarding the amount of parenting time that's allowed?
It can. I like to stress to clients that it's not so much the age of the child, but it's important for us to look at the child and for both parties to take a rational approach and look at the child and don't look at any sort of baggage from the relationship or any sort of ill feelings they might have with someone. For example, just because someone might have wandered from the marital relationship or cheated on you, something of that nature, doesn't mean that they're a bad parent. If there's abuse present in the home, then yeah, that might, certainly, because that will be something that could impact that. But it's important to keep in mind with the children, what's in their best interest. If we've got a child who is younger or an infant, we want to consider with that child the length of time that they're away on the parenting time schedule, the length of time that they're going to be away from the person who's basically been the primary caregiver day to day. We may not want to do a lot of overnights with the other parent in a consecutive nature. We may not want to do 1 week on, 1 week off type schedule where one parent has a child for 7 days and then the next 7 days, the other parent has a child. We probably don't want to do something like that with an infant. But if it's someone who's older, say a teenager, that might be something you want to consider. A lot of it depends on where that specific child or children, where they're at in their development.
You're mentioning structures. You're talking about some of the types of scheduling that can happen. Are there any specifics about structures that you perhaps want to let the listeners know about?
We can make these things work for the child. And that's what really everyone should be thinking about when they're listening to this. What's going to work for the child? So a common scheme is 1 week on, 1 week off. Another common scheme is the parents flip-flop every other weekend. So one parent has them one weekend, the next weekend the other parent has them. And then they just keep flip-flopping. And then what might happen is the parent who has them on the weekend has one overnight during the week or one evening visit during the week. And the other thing that's really important that I stress to clients, you can have a different schedule during the school year than you do during the summer. The obvious reason for that is the children can probably go to bed a little later, or the children don't have to get up to bed quite as early. There's not that commitment on the part of the child of school, because we can be a little freer with their schedule as far as maybe they stay with the other parent a little more.
When you say 1 week on, 1 week off, and you're looking for balancing schedules, the term that comes to my mind is joint. Is that basically a kind of structure that is common?
Yeah, it's very common to see a joint structure for custody, meaning that parenting time is not quite 50-50, but pretty close, somewhere in that 45% range. And again, it's going to vary depending on the commitments of the child, too. Because the child might have sports or other extracurricular activities or taking up his or her time. And then we need to look at factors like, where is each parent living? If one parent's living 45 minutes away from the other, then that's going to impact the school year schedule. And obviously, again, the summer schedule will change most likely as well.
Anything further you'd like to say about structures?
Again, I think it's really important for everyone to think about what's going to be best for their children and where their children are at as far as things like where are their friends located, what's their school regime. Are they someone who's in a lot of extracurriculars, on a lot of teams, or is it someone who is a much younger child and we're not even worried about school, but we are worried about that developmental regime with them early on? The main driving force here is to consider the best interests of the child or children, and to also think about taking any sort of baggage that's in the relationship between the two parents and just putting that aside. You're going to have to co-parent. And to do that, you need to realize while you may not necessarily want to have a lot of contact with that other parent, the studies really do bear out that it is in the best interest of the child to have exposure to both parents and to have that bond and to be able to kind of grow with each parent despite whatever falling out there may have been between the two parents themselves.
Is there a resource that the court or one of these agencies provides to be able to assist families with the scheduling process?
The whole idea of mediation, this is really an apt example of what gets brought into a mediation a lot of times is we discuss, well, what's the parenting time schedule going to look like and why? Again, mediation, we're dealing with experienced family law professionals who know the law, but also are attuned to developmental issues with children, where each child is at, and really trying to understand what is in that child's best interest. And if we go a step forward to another type of alternative dispute resolution, in Minnesota, we have the early neutral evaluations, where, again, we have trained professionals and making suggestions and recommendations to the parties as to what that parenting time schedule should look like and giving reasoning as to why based on their experience and their education. Many times with a parenting time or a custody E&E, what we're looking at are individuals who have counseling backgrounds as well as being learned in the law. They also have backgrounds in understanding exactly how children develop and why it may be best for one schedule to be the schedule that the parents use for parenting time as opposed to another type of schedule because of where that child is developmentally.
So they use their experience from years of having had these kind of schedules to deal with, to recommend certain things that they think might work. And then obviously, since it is a negotiation in some respects, that some adjustments can be made in there as well.
Yes. And a lot of times, if we are spinning this towards a divorce or dissolution, just because you have a judgment in your divorce that has a certain type of parenting time schedule, that's a default. And what I mean by that, David, is that if the parties mutually agree down the road when Bobby's 10 that, oh yeah, he should have some more time with dad, or he should have some more time with mom, and then they figure it out amongst themselves amicably, that would then take precedence over that default schedule that was developed when Bobby was maybe 4 and at a different stage in his life.
So it seems like there's some special considerations. Maybe we could just go through them. What are the things that people really need to keep in mind when it comes to making these parenting time schedules?
The one that I really hammer a lot, keep in mind the best interests of your child or children. Again, whatever baggage there may be in the relationship, no matter how jilted one parent might feel because of whatever another party did, try to put that aside and focus on the fact that it's really going to be most beneficial for your child or children to have exposure with regularity to both parents. That's going to help nurture them along their path in their life. Whenever we're fashioning a parenting time schedule or a parenting time scheme, we want to figure out, where is this child at, or children, where are they at in their developmental stages? Is this someone who's really young and probably going to benefit most from having a little more exposure to that primary person who's been the day-to-day parent, so to speak? Or is this someone who's older, in middle school, high school, and really has a strong bond with the other parent over a certain type of sport or a certain activity, or is going to be fine going from one house to another for a whole week, staying at one house without going to the other house, without having exposure constantly to each parent? And again, schedules are going to look different from school year to summer. They just are. They don't necessarily have to. I mean, there are some situations I've seen where they keep the same schedule, but really, by and large, what I've seen and what most of the practitioners see is that summer schedule does not look very close to the school year schedule. It's quite a different animal because we have less restriction on the child, on their time, and less of a expectation of what they're going to be doing during the day because they don't have school.
What about the case where a certain parent might usually have a traditional role? When we're talking about a separation or a dissolution,
sure,
that can change.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Just because someone might have been the primary breadwinner in a relationship or in a marriage, maybe they didn't have a whole lot of exposure to the child from 9 to 6 or 9 to 5, that doesn't mean that they can't handle the responsibility, the day-to-day of being with the child and caring for the child, if their work schedule is going to allow, too, is another thing we need to keep in mind. But don't be afraid to let the other parent try to do that if their schedule is going to allow for that, because you'd be surprised at the people I've seen who maybe had that steady 9 to 5 and then they've changed their work role and they're able to be more of a stay-at-home parent. It's kind of that old movie Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton. Another one is Mrs. Doubtfire with Robin Williams, where we have these traditional father-type individuals who were the breadwinner, and then through whatever happenstance, all of a sudden now they're the stay-at-home parent. And you look at the end of the movie, and by and large, those people get it. They understand how to do it. And yes, there might be some growing pains, but they understand the role, and they're able to do it in a way that really has benefited not only the child, but also that entire familiar unit.
Those are really some nice thoughts about this topic, Carlo. Anything else you'd like to share with us about parenting time schedules and the kind of flexibility that's involved?
For all the listeners out there who are in a place where they're having to think about a parenting time schedule, it's really, really crucial that you go speak with someone, or whether it's an attorney or whether it's you go through a mediation, speak with someone who knows not only the law where you are, but also just has experience with parenting time schedules and with structuring these schedules and exposure to children and knowledge of different developmental cycles of children, so that you can really tailor a schedule around your child that's going to impact them in the absolutely most positive way, because there really truly is no one-size-fits-all schedule when we're dealing with parenting time schedules, because every child is different. And each parenting time schedule, while there are some common ones, it's going to look different than what you might see on a blog or in a book or in a magazine, because every child's different. And that's really something that you should speak with a professional about.
Thank you so much, Carlo.
Thank you, David.
You are listening to Rise from the Ashes, the podcast channel that takes a careful look at all things having to do with legal procedure within the family law process. Rise from the Ashes is sponsored by Mundahl Law, who specializes in assisting families and individuals through the legal process with respect, dignity, and caring. Mundahl Law is dedicated to helping people to solve their legal problems. You can visit the Mundahl Law website at mundahllaw.com or call to schedule a consultation with one of their qualified family law attorneys. Rise from the Ashes, focusing on matters of the family, because family matters.